You've never paid so much for gas.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. You and I are witnessing history, although it's not the kind we'd want to brag about. The average price of gas around the country is $3.01 a gallon. The price can vary widely across the nation. For example, if you're in Charleston, South Carolina, you can fill up for only $2.77 a gallon. But if you pull into a service station in San Diego, ouch, the average price there, $3.28. In the last 5 years, a class of so-called miracle drugs has emerged. That's made some forms of cancer chronic rather than deadly. But new research suggests that some of these pricey new drugs might have a dangerous side effect. From the health desk at WGBH, Ellen Palmer has more.
Gleevec, a drug made by biotech company Novartis, costs about $25,000 a year. It completely suppresses leukemia in 70% of patients, but that's not the whole story.
Gleevec, while a phenomenally effective drug in leukemias, can cause patients to go into heart failure.
Cardiologist Thomas Force of Thomas Jefferson University says 10 patients on Gleevec suffered serious heart problems, so his team studied the drug in mice and heart cells in the lab. Force says not only does Gleevec damage hearts in some patients, other new cancer drugs that target the same proteins could also be dangerous. But that's not a reason to shun them, says Larry Sasek of the Lycom School of Pharmacy.
Every patient has a different level of risk that they're willing to accept.
Patients should be informed of the dangers and carefully monitored, says Sasek. Analysts say the heart findings should spur the development of safer cancer drugs. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
The British government is planning to adopt a tough U.S.-style approach to combating fraud and other large-scale financial crime. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard has that story.
The UK government believes that large-scale fraud is rising here due to the relative leniency of the British system. In this country, a convicted fraudster is likely to serve less than 5 years in jail. The government wants to emulate some features of the American approach, much longer sentences and plea bargaining, for example. The UK's main business organisation, the CBI, welcomes any crackdown on fraud, but says Deputy Head John Cridland, they don't want the American-style shackling of defendants and other forms of humiliation.
We would take the view that the American system throws the book at individuals in really quite a strident and arguably unpleasant way.
Large-scale fraud is reckoned to cost the UK economy more than $25 billion a year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The goal of boosting development of poorer nations suffered a blow today. Last-ditch talks by major trade powers collapsed. That leaves the future of negotiations on a global free trade deal up in the air. A full meeting by the 149-member World Trade Organization will take place later today to decide what the next step should be. Now, the market ended the week on a down note. This week, oil and other large companies will post their second quarter earnings, and that will have a big impact on Wall Street. At the close on Friday, the Dow was off 59 points at 10,868. This is Marketplace. The state of Vermont is holding hearings this week on a plan to register all farms that raise livestock. The hope is this will make it easier to stop diseases like bird flu. Steve Tripoli says many farmers aren't buying it.
Vermont officials say they plan to stop their effort after simply identifying which farms have which kinds of animals. Federal officials had wanted to register all animals individually, but the proposal was shelved after nationwide complaints. Amy Schollenberger of the farm advocacy group Rural Vermont says even the state's approach is flawed.
It's very clear that it will not work. There's no way that we can see that the state will achieve 100% compliance.
If all farmers don't take part, that defeats the program's purpose. Schollenberger says many farmers fear the state won't stop at registering farms, and any larger effort would strain small farms' budgets. Vermont farmers anchor the state's big agriculture and tourism sectors. They're likely to be out in force as hearings move around the state. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Builds with Habitat for Humanity, an opportunity for Lutherans to help build 310 decent homes this year with families in need. Online at thriventbuilds.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. If you're thinking about buying a computer, here's a word for you: green. green as in the environment. A new program is being launched today that rates things like computers, laptops, and monitors based on how environmentally friendly they are. From the sustainability desk, Alex Cohen says one company is pretty prominent on that list.
The program's called EPEAT. That stands for the much clunkier name, Electronic Product Environmental Assessment Tool. Nearly half the computers listed on the EPEAT site are made by Dell. Here at Dell's manufacturing plant in Central Texas, computers are assembled, packed up in cardboard boxes, then sealed for delivery. Computers can contain hazardous materials, and many of them wind up in landfills. Environmental engineer Mark Schaefer says Dell takes pains to make computers that are more energy efficient and easier to dispose of when users are done.
Our choice of the number of plastics that we use, we minimize the different types, so that aids in recycling. We avoid the use of certain flame retardants. We also avoid the use of PVC in large components.
Schaefer says all Dell computers listed on the new EPEAT site have earned a silver rating. That means they comply with 23 required criteria needed for a bronze rating, plus at least half of an additional 28 criteria. Jeff Omelchuk is the director of the Green Electronics Council, which helped develop the EPEAT system.
EPEAT covers energy consumption of the product, recyclability of the product, the use of recycled content in the product packaging, and some elements of the performance of the manufacturer company. You know, how green is the company itself?
EPEAT is funded by fees paid by manufacturers like Dell and Hewlett-Packard. Though the website can be viewed by anyone, EPEAT was specifically developed for use by state and federal agencies, such as NASA, the Department of Education, and Homeland Security.
A lot of federal legislation requires agencies of the federal government to purchase green products when and where practical.
Omelchuk says those state and federal contracts add up to big bucks. $32 billion are slated to be spent on EPEAT-rated products. And that, he adds, may well inspire manufacturers to produce more green computers. Garth Hickel is with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. He says tools like EPEAT can help save his state money.
It is a really flexible tool that's going to allow the agencies to be able to significantly reduce the costs of developing standards on our own and really remove the complications of doing that specific product evaluation.
According to the EPA, purchase of EPEAT-registered products over the next 5 years is expected to save nearly 600,000 megawatts of electricity and more than 13 million pounds of hazardous waste. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
We're podcasting. For more information, check out our website at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Testing a steak for Mad.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.